بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And alhamdulillah, last week we concluded and we finished the third passage of this surah, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, and that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the joy and the bliss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the abrar with. And it ended with Al-Muqarrabun, and we spoke about who Al-Muqarrabun were, people that were the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're the beginning of Islam. Because they rushed to the message, they accepted the message in circumstances and in cases where people sort of would have denied and would have rejected. So they accepted, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them al-muqarrabun. Al-muqarrabun, we said as-sabiqun, as-sabiqun, those that are the first of the first, they're the ones that yani enjoy the highest, the very highest of places in the paradise. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by the way, we're going to conclude the surah, and this is the fourth passage of the surah. And the fourth passage, you can basically summarize it by saying, this is a further enjoyment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers in the paradise. A further enjoyment. We're going to find out what this further enjoyment is all about. So that's how the third passage and the fourth passage are connected. The third spoke about rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the believers in the paradise, from the drinks, from the wine bottles, from the smell of the cork of the seal, and from the explaining the names of the rivers in the paradise. And now the fourth paragraph goes a bit further to give us one more degree of how the believers will enjoy. This is also part of their enjoyment in the paradise. So the fourth passage begins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ And so to conclude this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something about the fujjar again, about those that rebel against Allah azza wa jal. We already found this in the second passage. كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ Now, the ending of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us something about these fujjar, these criminals, the worst kind of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no doubt, certainly those that engaged in crime, الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا And أَجْرَمُوا comes from the word إِجْرَامُ And ijram in the Arabic language means to commit a crime and to see the consequences of this crime. You see the results of this crime that you commit. So those who engaged in ijram, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا These people that engaged in this crime have been making fun and insulting and laughing at the believers. كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ So these kuffar, these mujrimeen, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا Basically these mujrimeen, they heard the Qur'an, and they heard the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they heard the ayat that explained the paradise, and that explained about the hereafter, and about the hellfire, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the dwellers of the paradise, and for the dwellers of the fire. And they saw the joy and the happiness on the faces of the believers. When these ayat were recited about what the believers get of reward, the kuffar, these mujrimeen, they saw the smile on the Muslim, on the believers' faces. And they, the kuffar, they said, look at these fools. What are they laughing at? Look at the garbage they believe in, you know? And you just think of this, even nowadays people make mockery and comedy about the idea of paradise. You know, you've heard people making fun of the 72 wives, al-hur al-ain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the mujahideen, those that are martyred in His cause. This is all making fun of this deen. And you find people making fun, and this happened in those times, making fun of the rivers of the paradise, of the drinks of paradise. What are these people on about? You know, speaking about imaginary fantasies. So why did they make fun of this? Because it was funny to them. It just doesn't make sense. The idea of paradise and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers have been reciting of ayat, it just doesn't make sense to these people. But for the Muslim, this is real. We believe in this. This is part of your deen. This is part of our iman, part of our belief. That whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared in the paradise, we believe in. And this is something real for us. It is true. And everyone else makes fun of this. So Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. They used to make fun at this. They used to laugh at them while they recite these ayat that describe the blessings and the enjoyments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers in the paradise. Now the thing I want to highlight in this ayah is the word kanu. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا. And kanu, this is part of something that's known as, or this is a subject in Ulum al-Qur'an known as al-iltifatu fi al-Qur'an, transition that happens in the Qur'an. And this is a very powerful technique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Qur'an on multiple occasions to grab attention of the listener and to bring in a very serious and powerful point. So what we mean by transition is that sometimes you find in the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins a surah with first person and then it shifts, for example, to third person. Like you see in Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, this is all in the third person, and then it shifts to the first person, Iyaka Na'bud, Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, right? So now we're speaking, it's like we're saying we worship you, and you only we seek help in. So there are powerful techniques that are used in the Qur'an, and one of them is this iltifat. And what we find out when we come to this surah is that at the beginning of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, it was about now, it was about present, current events. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. You know, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ. It's speaking about now, people that engage themselves in tatfif, and the description and the definition of what tatfif is. Then the ayat, after a while, they travel to the future. تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم عين يشرب بها المقربون. It went from present to future. Allah then spoke about people that are already in the paradise and what kind of blessings they're enjoying. So one is made to imagine that he's sitting on that couch and he's drinking from the wine bottle in front of him and he sees the rivers. That's what one is supposed to imagine when these ayat come, because they're in that set, in that tense. Now these ayat, this concluding passage of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, it speaks about something in the past. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا. In the past. And now to understand this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't say that the criminals make fun of the believers. He said the criminals used to make fun and laugh at those who believed, at the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this as if it's something in the past. The passage before this, which was about al-abrar, was about people that are already in the paradise. So the way this is situated, the way it comes in the Qur'an, in this surah, it illustrates that people are already in paradise and they're enjoying their drinks and they're enjoying the view and they're reclining on their couch and a memory passes by their mind and they, like they're speaking to one another and saying, remember when these people used to make fun of us and remember when they used to laugh at us? That's the rhetorical benefit we take from this. So in other words, the second passage was about al-abrar, that was in the future. Then when Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ, He took us to the past. And what we benefit from this is that in between the lines it's being said that the believers are now in the paradise and they're enjoying what Allah has given them. And this thought, this memory passes their mind. And they remember between one another how the kuffar, how the mujrimeen in this world used to make fun at them and used to laugh at them for the ayat they used to read and for the deen they used to adhere by and for the salat they used to make. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And when they would pass, when these criminals, these mujrimeen, when they would pass by them, when they would pass by the group, a group of believers, they would make gestures with their eye. And this is what yataghamazun means. Yataghamazun comes from the word ghamaz. And al-ghamzu is to make a gesture with the eye. In other words, they used to wink at each other, insulting eye gestures. And this is one of the worst type of insults you can do to someone. Even until today, if you roll your eyes at someone while they speak, that's sort of, it's classified as an insult, it's identified as an insult towards someone. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is what they used to do when they used to pass by the believers. They used to wink at one another, you know, give eye contact to one another. It's like they're insulting, making fun and mocking the believers at what they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat, He captures even that much of their crime, as small as an eye gesture. Now you know the worst of the crimes of the mujrimeen have been mentioned either before this surah or after this surah, or in this surah. Allah spoke about heavy crimes that the mujrimeen used to engage in. You know, we read in surah At-Takwir, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, about them killing baby girls alive. And then later on you read, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. They used to burn the Muslims just because they said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. They used to burn them. And they used to lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. This is big crimes. And they used to insult the messenger. They used to fight the messenger. They used to torture the believers. They used to kill them, slaughter them. You know, and they used to burn them as well. This is what happens in Surah Al-Buruj. Not necessarily limited only to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time. Rather, when we say Al-Mujrimeen, we're speaking about every Mujrim that existed from the beginning of time up until the end of time. But he, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what crime did he mention? He mentioned them, the kuffar, just winking, having this eye gesture, this insulting look at the believer, he recorded that as a crime. Just the way he looks at you in an insulting fashion, in an insulting manner, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala registered as a crime. And He'll give them a punishment for this. And we'll say what this punishment is. So, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. When the believers would pass by the kuffar, these kuffar would wink at them, making insulting eye gestures, just the way they'd look at each other. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. Now, when the mujrim, when he's done by making fun, when he's done making fun at the believers, and this is also understood up until today, this still happens up until now. So these ayat are very relevant. And this is really what happens up until today. Allah is saying that when the mujrim, he makes fun at the believer, he's done, he's finished, انقلبوا إلى أهلهم, they return to their families. He goes back to his family. And we find this a lot in the Quran, this idea of going back to your family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, for example, in Surah Al-Qiyamah, ثم ذهب إلى أهله يتمطى. He returned back to his family, all rejoiced and happy and joyful and cheerful. And Allah says, وَإِذَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. This idea of the kafir making fun at the believer and then going back to his family. And what does he do? He shares with his family his stories. Today I saw a few men, with a beard, and he had this thing on his head, and we passed by them and we made a few comments and they looked a bit upset. He shares these stories. He runs back to his family and he shares this story. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they return to their family, they return, how do they return? Fakihin, full of joy. And fakihin comes from the word fakiha, as some of the scholars would say. And fakiha, I'm sure you all know, is a fruit, basically a fruit. So they enjoy, basically what's being said here, is that the kafir, the mujrim, he enjoys making fun at the believer, just like one enjoys the taste of a fresh fruit. You eat the fruit, it's a very nice fruit. He makes fun at the believer, he says that was awesome. That was something very nice. He finds joy in this. And fakihin, this word, it illustrates that they're so happy with their insult towards the believers, they can actually taste the joy of insulting the believers. And they share their stories with their families, how they insulted this person, and what they did to this one, and how they looked at this person, and what his reaction was. And subhanAllah, just by looking at this now, analyzing it, in reality this is a contrast. Because the kafir, the mujrim himself, he makes fun of the believer in this world. In this dunya, he makes fun. And after he makes fun and he's had enough, he goes back to his family and he shares the story and what he did that day. But in reality, what happens on the Day of Judgment, because what happens on the Day of Judgment, that's what really counts. We already read what happens on that day. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Abasa? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That same person that used to make fun at the believer and used to run back to his house really, really happy to share the stories of insult towards the believers, what happens to him on the Day of Judgment? Allah says he runs away from his family. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. In other words, you can see the irony in this. Now in this world, they run towards the family to share the story of insult. But on that day, they're actually running away from their family. يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. Running away from his brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. And his father and his mother. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. And his wife, his partner, and his children. So they run away from the people. He runs away from the very same people he used to share these insulting stories with. And so the reality has been completely reversed. So the believers in the paradise, they remember these times. And what else did the kafir, he used to say in this world to the believer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this further. He says, وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. This is another thing that the mujrimeen used to do towards the believers. And when they would see them, رَأَوْهُمْ, it gives it's sort of a meaning that's associated with something seen from a distance. So in other words, Allah is saying when they see them from a far distance, they would say that these people are confused then. قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. These people, they're confused, they're lost, they're truly misguided. They want this so-called thing, it's called paradise, Poor Muslims, they're having this imagination of a paradise. And that's why they're acting like this. They're praying 5 times a day, they're fasting their month, they're going 7 times around this Kaaba. All this is because of something that really doesn't even exist. And they spend the day and night preaching this message, this Qur'an, and they follow this man who they call insane, wal-iyadu billah. And they're lost. Look at these poor people. So they look at the believers with this sort of pity, You know? And what that is that they feel sorry for them. The mujrim, he looks at the believer and he really feels sorry for him. Even this is true up until today. You know, people, they look at the Muslims and they feel very bad for them, very sorry for them. Why are these people making wudu 5 times a day before their salah? Then they have to pray, then there's a month they have to fast, then they have this boyfriend and girlfriend thing, then the woman has to wear this scarf on her head, right? And then there's no alcohol to be enjoyed, no pork. What is this hardship they've put themselves in? Inna haula ila dallu. Right? This is what they say. And now I just want to go on a tangent for a minute here. It's very important that we explain this idea of hardship. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Balad, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. This is just something on the side, then I'll come back to the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, certainly we created man in toil, فِي كَبَدٍ, in hardship. And كَبَد, it comes from the word which itself كَبَد, but what kabad actually means, it could be used in the context of say, you say, ash-shamsu fi kabid as-sama, that the sun is in the middle of the sky. And when the sun is in the middle of the sky, that's when the heat is the most. So in other words, that's how we give the meaning of kabad, hardship. And kabad also comes from the word kibad, and kibad, we all know it's a liver, and the liver when it's injured, the whole body feels hardship. The whole body is in pain. So Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Surely, we created man in hardship. We created human beings, al-insan. All the believers, all the people, فِي كَبَدٍ. Now, what I want to highlight in this is that this concept of the disbeliever saying that the believers are putting themselves through hardship is actually false. We learn in the Qur'an that every single human being goes through hardship. Whether he's a believer, whether he's a non-believer. Allah doesn't say, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْمُؤْمِنْ فِي كَبَدٍ or لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْكَافِرْ فِي كَبَدٍ. This is خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. And what this actually implies is from beginning of time to the end of time, he's in kabad. So you come out of your mother's womb, that's hardship. You know? You learn how to breastfeed, that's hardship. And then you grow bit by bit, you learn how to eat, you start choking on the food and so on, that's even more hardship. Then you start learning how to walk, more hardship. And then you go to school and there's the education and your homework, and then at university and you graduate with a degree, then you find work and you start working and then you get married and you have children of your own, now you raise them. This is all hardship upon hardship. And it is going to be addressed in the second surah, the surah after Mutaffifin. But let me just continue. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. So we learn that everyone is being put in hardship. But the difference between the believer and the kafir is that the believer's hardship is being rewarded for. He gets paid for it. But the kafir's hardship, it's gone to waste. Just like Umar radiallahu anhu, when he passed by a Christian monk and he saw him worshipping, he's really putting a lot of effort in worship. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he started crying and he said, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. You know, he's crying, he's feeling sorry for him. But this man is putting himself in so much effort and so much hardship, but it's all gone to waste. عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. And at the end, تَصْلَى نَارًا حَمِيًا. But for the believer, every single hardship he goes through, then there's reward for this. And I'm going to just speak to you something very small that I'm sure maybe you haven't heard of this before. I'd like to share it with you. Even as small as the concept of the hijab. Do you want to explain something about this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah An-Nur, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. This is very important to learn, understand, and relay this to your wives and to your the females in your family. In this ayah, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this ayah by commanding the messenger, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Briefly translated, command the believing woman to lower from their gaze and to protect their private parts. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, and not to expose their beauty except what is exposed of that, which is the face and the hand. Then he said, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. وَلْيَضْرِبْ means to strike. To strike. بِخُمُرِهِنَّ, خُمُر comes from the word خِمَار. خِمَار basically is a headscarf. A headscarf, something that covers the head. And just like you say, al-khamr, khamr is alcohol, and it was called khamr because it covers the mind, it covers the intellect, so you can't think straight. So khimar is a head cover. Allah says, and tell them, order them to strike the head cover, obviously on their head, because it's called a head cover, ala juyubihin, and to extend it all the way onto al-juyub. Al-juyubihin is this part here. The front, the chest part, the breast. So this is a command. But what's interesting is that the Qur'an, we know about the Qur'an, it's that it's very precise when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. Very precise words. So in other words, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, four words are used to command the believing woman to wear a hijab. While at the same time we could have just said وَلْيَتَخَمَّرْ would have meant exactly what those four words meant. And it's shorter. And the Qur'an we know of is very precise and very short and straight to the point. So why does Allah use these four words as opposed to using that one word which would have already given the same meaning? You see, this is teaching us something. This phrase began with the word وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا, and to strike. Let them strike. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi'ilmihi, with His knowledge, He knew that the believing woman, when she puts her scarf on, from the moment she leaves the house, till she removes it off, the moment she comes back home, it is not going to be perfect on her head. It's not. It is not. During the day, it's going to sort of slant this way. It needs to be what? وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا, it needs to be striked. Move it and fix it and put this back, and this will sort of slip down, put it back up. And then this drops a little bit and then put it back up. It's not perfect. The hijab wasn't meant to be something perfect that comes on the head the moment you put it on, and then it's very, it remains the way it is until you take it off when you come back home. That's not the case. So Allah used these words. Why? He said, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا, to indicate that every single strike, every single adjustment the woman does for her hijab is a reward. It's not hardship, it's a reward. So in other words, when the believing woman, when the Muslimah is outside and the headscarf just sort of slants this way or drops, slides this way a little bit, and she finds it really difficult to move it back up, and when she puts the bag, and then the bag sort of drags it back down, and it has to pull it back up and fix it, put the hair back in and so on. This happens. Allah says, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا, strike. This is the command, meaning in other words, every time they do this strike, there's a reward involved with this. So there is no hardship. It is hardship in definition, but at the end, it's painful. And when you're in the paradise at the end, you really did not feel anything. So this is something I wanted to mention, something important, so we can understand that people that are weak in Iman, people that are weak in faith, they really don't see the point of their worship. Why do I do all this? Man, I pray and I do this because Islam is the truth. He doesn't know how Islam is the truth, but because his father and the Muslims around him, they pray and they told him Islam is true, so he does this. And he just associates this with hardship. And why am I supposed to go through all this? But be sure that this hardship is a reward at the end. And I only explained that hijab bit just to explain to you even that move of a hijab is with reward. So how about anything else you do in your life that is towards yani, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For sure this is reward. So the mujrimeen here, they say, وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. They say these people are misguided. Why? Because of this hardship they put themselves in. But the believer, he's happy because he knows his hardship, it gives him, if it pays him off at the end, it gives him a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues this passage. And he says, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. Really amazing ayah. And this ayah could be understood in two very different ways. Pay attention so you can understand how beautiful this comes into context when understanding it in the two ways. Literally, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ means, and they have not been sent upon them as guardians. Meaning these disbelievers were not sent to watch over the believers. They weren't sent to watch over us. What are they worried about? And what are they so worried about? If we're lost or we're not lost, what's that of their concern? How we live, and how we dress, and how we worship Allah, and how we follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what we believe in. What do they care? What do they care about all this? So Allah says, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. You know, what's their concern about all this? This is one understanding of this ayah. The other understanding, it gives a totally different meaning. And that is, we're understanding this ayah as being a continuation of what the criminals of al-mujrimeen, what they say. So if we're going to understand that this way, this is what it will give us of meaning. So what it will mean, that the criminals are looking at the believers and they're saying to the believers, they haven't been sent to society to guard over them. The believer, the disbeliever, the mujrim, he looks at the believer and he says, these people, they haven't been sent to society to guard over them. They haven't been sent to watch over what we do. Why are they commenting on every single thing we do? And why are they telling us, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ? What do they want about us? What are they, guardians over us? Who sent them so they can watch over us and what we do? Why are they getting involved in our affairs? And who made them in charge? Who told them to watch every single thing we do? And this beautifully connects to the surah before, because in the previous surah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us? Using the same word. He said, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. He told us. He told the kuffar, the mujrimeen, and he told the believers that upon you are hafidheen, are guardians, that watch over you and write every single deed you do of good action and bad action and of good word and of bad word. So you already have someone that's watchful over you. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. So the disbelievers' criticism is that the believers are hafidheen upon us. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. The disbeliever, he'd say, who sent these people as guardians on us? Allah responded in the surah before. He said, well, relax. These people are not guardians upon you. They're only warning you for the better. They're just feeling sorry for you. So they're telling you, watch out, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Otherwise, it's going to be disastrous for you. The real guardian above you and upon you are what was mentioned in the surah before, and that is the angels that are writing every single thing you do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Then on that day, the scene goes back now to the day of judgment. And Allah says, then on that day, as a result, those who believed will be making fun and laughing at the kuffar. And how incredible this is. At the beginning of this passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون. He didn't say إن الذين كفروا. Those who commit crime, مجرمين, used to laugh at the believers. But at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He comforts the believers by not only laughing and making fun at the mujrimeen, rather He gives them this joy and this reward of now laughing and making fun at the kuffar entirely. At the beginning, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا. At the end, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Today, which is in the Day of Judgment, the believers will be laughing and will be making fun, not at the mujrimeen, at the kuffar. So whether you know him or you don't know him, whether he insulted you or he didn't insult you, then Allah gives you that sort of comfort to the heart and to the soul, and that is now you're laughing back at them. And in reality, that's what's funny. What's funny is that these people would make fun at the believers in this life, and in reality the real fun and the real mockery happens on that day towards them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They will be on these high couches, reclining, and they're having a full view. This ayah is repeated. Just a few ayat before we read, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. But before, when Allah said, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, they were looking at the blessings that Allah gave them. لَفِي نَعِيمِ. They were looking at the blessing. Now, this عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, they are looking at people that are making them laugh. So they are actually now عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They're sitting on these couch, they're reclining. They have a full view, but a full view of what? Now of the kuffar that are in Jahannam. And now they're making fun of them, and they're laughing at them. So they don't even have to look down. They can sit, relax, and they still can see, and they still have the best view of the disbelievers in the fire. And so the disbelievers, they're burning in the fire, and the believers recall in their mind, didn't you make fun of us? And didn't you make fun of the hell and fun of the paradise? Why are you laughing now? Because now it's really funny, if you really think about it. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an extra reward to the believers, and that is by granting them this opportunity to laugh back at them and to take revenge. Actually, so this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting the believers their revenge. And now to conclude this surah, and it's such a powerful conclusion to this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asks a question. He says, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. The word ثُوِّبَ comes from the word ثَوَاب. And ثَوَاب in Arabic basically means to get a good pay. To get something, a good pay, a sort of a good salary. And He gives the meaning of you do good work, and you get good pay. You get good reward for what you did. So Allah said, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Have those who disbelieved, have they been paid a good salary for what they used to do? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making fun of them, at the kuffar. This is Allah's sarcasm at the kuffar. And notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He concluded the surah with the word مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ, as opposed to the word يَعْمَلُونَ. Because يَعْمَلُونَ and يَفْعَلُونَ, they mean the same, but they have one difference. And that is that عَمَل is something, is an act that's done with an intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَةِ. Not الْأَفْعَالُ, الْأَعْمَالُ. So al-amal is something done with an intention. While the af'al and fi'l is something that's done without an intention. You don't intend it. You blink your eyes, you don't intend that. You roll in bed, you don't intend that. You sneeze, you don't intend that. You know, these are unintentional things, these are called af'al. We already discussed this in Surah Al-Infitar, where we said, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ, that the angels record all this. The intentional actions and the unintentional actions. And on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only takes you to account and judgment according to what you did with intention. وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ, not fa'alat, ma amilat. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah concluded this surah, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Why does he say يَفْعَلُونَ? Because the fujjar, the kuffar, at this point, when it gets to this point of mocking the believers and insulting them and laughing at them and making fun of them, then they don't even think about the result of their actions. They don't know where this is leading them to. So they don't do amal, they do a fi'l, an action without an intention. They laugh and they mock the believers, and that's just something like it spritz through their blood. It's just like you blink your eye. Because they don't understand, they don't know the consequences of this. What this is really going to take them to. They might know, but they're not convinced about it. They're saying that we're going to Jahannam. What kind of Jahannam is he talking about? So Allah called it fi'l because it's so now encapsulated and embedded in their characteristics, so much so that it's become a fi'l. It's something they do without an intention. It's just now really natural, it's normal to them. And now to conclude this surah, as we always do, is we connect the beginning of this surah to the ending of the surah. Awesome connection to the ending and the beginning of this surah. And just before this, Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in his tafsir, he says, have these criminals been given what they deserved when they belittled and they made fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers? And he answered the question, he said yes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave them what they deserve. But now look at this, look at the connection of the beginning of the surah and the end. The surah began with what? With waylul lil mutaffifin. Ultimate destruction upon those who engage in tatfif. We said tatfif has the idea of taqleel. Basically what it means, we said that it means to make a little profit by giving people a little less than they deserve, and by taking a little more than they deserve. That was tatfif. We explained this. That's the beginning of the surah. And why did the people do tatfif for? Why did they did this cheating in business? Because they wanted money. They wanted sort of a small profit on the side. 5 cents from here, a few grams from here, a few grams from there. It will add up at the end. They can sell another kilo to someone else, make more money. That's why they did tatfif at the beginning, for a small profit. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conclude the surah? He said, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Have those who disbelieve now got a good salary? Have they been paid in full? Do they enjoy this? That little profit, this is what they actually paid, this is what they paid for. For this Jahannam that they're burning in right now. A good profit for what they used to do. And yeah, this teaches us the severity of at-tatfif. And there was just one comment I wanted to make about at-tatfif. What is this surah doing in between the surah of Juz' Amma? You know, from the beginning of Juz' Amma up until now, me and you, we've both realized that it's all about the Day of Judgment. It's all about the Day of Judgment and the accounts that are going to happen, and describing the situation of the earth, and then describing the situation on the plains on the Day of Judgment. And so you find Surah Al-Mutaffifin, is right in between. Before it by two surah was إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, speaking about the Day of Judgment. The surah after this was إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ, speaking about the Day of Judgment. Then Al-Mutaffifin, then right after it, which is going to be our next surah for study inshaAllah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. three surahs, either, speaking about the events that happen on the Day of Judgment. And in between is something about a tatrif, cheating in business. Basically, this teaches us something, and that is that you commit a crime against Allah Azza wa Jal. What's actually being embedded and being put in between the lines when Surah Al-Mutaffifin is right here, it's saying that at-tatfif, as small of a crime as you think it is, we said it's not stealing banks, it's just making a few dollars on the side. These little minor things, this minor crime, it'll give you an ultimate destruction. It'll eventually lead you to an ultimate destruction. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Ultimate destruction upon those who engage in tatfif. And the rest of the surah in Juz' Amma are all about يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ and are about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with Allah. And you find this surah the odd one out because it's speaking about the relationship of people with people. Because tatfif is a relationship between me and you when it comes to business. It's a dealing between me and you, between the customer and the merchant. And so Allah is telling us that if this dealing between a human and another human, as little as tatfif, will destroy you and give you ultimate destruction, what would you say about your dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? About people that don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? About people that don't obey and follow the instructions and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then surely where's this going to take you? If tatfif, if this small thing that you see as small, that actually gives you ultimate destruction, what will, other than this crime, bigger than this, your relationship, your dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it's not done correctly, what will this take you to? So this surah was put in the middle on purpose here, so it can give us this understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us students of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. Is there any questions before we conclude this session? Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll begin with Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And I hope inshallah that we finish it in two lessons. Really extremely important surah. We're going to find in this surah that there's a whole different theme as opposed to the surah that came before. I'll divide it for you in its four parts and what they speak about, and inshallah ta'ala we'll start the tafsir of that surah. And there's a lot of blanks in this surah. This surah really needs a lot of attention. There's a lot of blanks, there's a lot of things that you're supposed to figure out yourself. Because إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beginning of Juz' Amma up until now, how many times has He spoken about what happens to the sky? Almost 6-7 times now He's spoken about what happens to it. إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ فَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. Now it's to its final stage. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. So there's not a lot of ayat. There's only two ayat actually. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, then وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And it's done. Before, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا. So many وَإِذَا. Because that was all there in detail. Now it's like a summary. And it moves on. And the surah, a lot of blanks are kept, so that you can reflect to the surah that were before and the surah that come after. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us a true understanding of these ayat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a true understanding of this deen and to bless us with true friends. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.